Turn around with 2 Corinthians. Turn around. Turn your Bible. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 tonight. And I just want to talk to you tonight about what is faith promise giving. And we're going to look at that. And it's been really a while, been a long, long time since I've really been preaching on faith promise. And so it's going to be kind of getting some cobwebs out and looking at this. And I really just kind of ponder these truths. And I just hope you got to just think about it with me tonight, and let's let the Word of God speak to us this evening. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so much that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you what? Abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," well, I just went on past, let me stop there. Speak not by commandment. Let me stop there and pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, to ask you to speak to our hearts and help us to ponder these truths that you taught the church of Corinth of the need of giving. And Father, what you've done to the churches of Macedonia, what they tap into your by faith and seeing what you could do for them, Lord God. And help us to get our hearts and give ourselves completely to you, Father. Father, help us to, I know that once we do that, Lord, you have us and we were surrendered. We're not full of pride, but put full of humility and meekness, Lord God. Then you can do great, mighty things through us as a church. Now, Father, help us see the burden as you see the souls to be saved. Watch over us and protect us, Father. Speak to hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What is faith promise given? And, you know, the method of giving is really, faith promise given is by the individual or families we give through the local church. It's a given weekly basis to support missions through our church. And it's based on the principle of sowing and reaping. It's always, you know, you always sow what you have first. You don't get then, you know, not waiting to get to sow. God always provides the means already to sow. Now, Paul knew the church of Corinth. And if you really think about it, church of Corinth is a church. It really is the sorriest church in the Bible. I mean, they are just a bunch of knotheads. And he's really dealing with them. And he's talking about giving to a church that's backslidden, church is, you know, stubborn. And he's dealing with giving. And most time you deal with anybody giving spirituality, they're not going to give. So he really does reach to them on a spiritual level, teach them the act of great, and to motivate, it must be from the heart. Acts 15:28, it tells us when they had a church council, they said, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." And the giving and grace and faith promise, no greater burden is one of the necessary things that we need to get involved to accomplish what God has called us to do. And when we really believe this statement here that it's more blessed to give than receive, listen, we're tapping into something powerful. I mean, really, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I've been in the grocery stores, and I make little jokes to them. I say, you know, it's blessed more to give than receive, so you can buy my groceries. And of course, they all, no. But listen, that is really a powerful blessing. You can't outgive God. And then you're getting a hold of God, and you're saying it's more blessed to give in my life. More I give my life to God, more I give myself to God, more I receive. If I give my family to God, I have a better, stronger family. You know that. I mean, if you haven't really, men, brought your wives and your children and say, "God, here they are, take them," then you need to, because it's better to give them to God than to keep them. So we really believe this idea of the blessed more to give. They understand that. They understand the working of grace. So this biblical principle will help us understand faith promise giving. Because I'm telling you, I don't think I'm telling you something you haven't heard. I don't think there's nothing new about this. It's something that's been preached year by year and decades by decades. But I'm telling you, it's a time we need to kind of reflect and think about it and kind of refresh our hearts and ponder on these truths in our lives. Because it's more than money, folks. It has nothing to do with money. It's about really about us giving ourselves to God. But the first one is a biblical concept. 1-7 really is a biblical concept given to worldwide missions. It says financing worldwide evangelization. Everybody is giving their part to winning the world. We have a responsibility, a commandment, the Great Commission, go in the world and to preach the gospel. It gives us an opportunity to fulfill that opportunity of reaching the world. I mean, I can't reach Uzbekistan, I can't reach Spain, I can't reach China being here, but I can get in part in missions to help accomplish that task of that. I may not can go because of health, or I may not go where God has not called me, but somebody else go, I can get involved in their ministry to accomplish that. I ain't talking about somebody will go there on a vacation, sit back and live nice. I'm talking about getting a hold of missionaries that have a desire to win souls. Listen, if they don't win souls here in the state, they shouldn't go over there anyway to begin with. Listen, a missionary has two things when he comes to his church. He comes here and says, look, pray for me. He needs the power of prayer effects. He needs your prayer. Then he says, I need your money. Because he can't get there without you. And this is a part of getting worldwide missions. And it doesn't matter the size of the church. The church can be small. The church can be great. It doesn't matter of the individual, the income. You don't have much money. You may have abundance of money. We all can have a part in missions. And that's what's so great about it. It doesn't matter how big your pocketbook is. It's how big your faith in Almighty God. Listen, it's not above our tithe and our offerings to God. It's the idea of saying, God, what do you have me to give? The purpose is to win the lost for Jesus Christ. That's the main purpose. It ain't for having pictures on a wall and say, look, all the missionary support. It doesn't mean nothing. It means about getting those people there so they can tell the little boys and girls how to get saved. They don't have a church. They can start training men. Listen, it takes a while to train men, but you train men and they can replace them. They can be the pastor, and that missionary goes and starts another work, and he still works with that man of God and helps that church continue to grow. That's what it's about. But you know, it says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not a request, that's a command. It really is a command for each one of us to do, and it's a command by the Almighty God Himself. Go in all the world. That means go ye. Who's that ye? You. Go ye. He didn't say you those to go, but me. But God, you haven't called me, so where I go? I can't go, but He can go. I can support Him and get involved in those missions. Listen, do you know 7 billion people in this country, this world? 7 billion. I remember it was 5 or 6, or I can't remember now, but 7 billion people, that's a lot of people. That's an enormous task, isn't it? But God has given us a command to accomplish that, but we got to be committed to accomplish those things that God has given us to do. But it's not a new concept. A lot of people think that Oswald J. Smith come up with this concept, but he hasn't. Look with me, Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Here we got the church of Antioch, and he's talking to them. He says, In these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Listen, they were seeing the poor, there was a need, and they got involved. And you know, listen, there was a need for brother. You imagine that they took the gospel and they carried it up there, and for those people to have it, and the people in Judea were in need of physical food, and they had abundance of food, but they didn't have the abundance of the gospel. One shared the other. And listen, you know, we got abundance of the Bibles. We got more Bible than people in this world has. We got Bibles, commentaries, we got dictionaries, I bet you in your house, you may have 5 or 6 Bibles in your house. I remember the people in Romania where they were sneaking Bibles in for them to have the Bible. They may have a sheet or just a page of the Bible. And one guy said to me, he said, they have more Bible in them than we have the Bibles. And listen, it's a need, it really is importance, but the idea of remembering the poor. Remember the poor. And Paul says in Galatians 2:10, it says, only they that would remember the poor. He was telling them, and the same which I also was foredo, eager to do. You know, Jesus says, the Spirit of God is upon me to preach. He says, a priest that has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This, he's called us to reach the poor, not just the poor in physical, but poor in spiritual. John the Baptist sent, he was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one or we expect another? And he goes on and he tells them, says, the poor hath the gospel preached to them. You see the evidence. People are in need of poor. And that's why the purpose of Worldwide Missions, that people are poor in spirit, they can have truth. I mean, we're worried about 6:30 of the game, and there are people that don't even have a church for hundreds of miles. Listen, get involved where people have an opportunity. Can you imagine living in a world that Jesus Christ is just a name, and your ancestor and your ancestors all died and went to a devil's hell? Drive out here and you can find it's Burger King. You can find all kinds of churches that fits your needs. But out there, they don't have it. This is to get us involved where we can help, listen, get people there to preach the gospel so that people can get saved. That's what it's about. It's Worldwide Missions. What else it's about is not just a concept of giving to Worldwide Missions, but it's a biblical plan that proves our sincerity or love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness, that means the eagerness, the haste of the diligence of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Listen, we're showing a commitment, a willing of the heart to prove our love. God is, you know, He's given us so much, but He didn't give us a commandment. He says, I want you to do it with a voluntary heart, a willingness, and an eagerness to do it for what He's done for you. God, I want you here. You changed my life, and I surrendered you. If you called me to go, that song, I surrendered my life, and you want me to go. There's got to be a willingness. But listen, I do it because I love Him. I don't do it because I have to. Because I want to give and get involved in missions. Why am I preaching this? Because it's the most important thing. Once God gets our heart, folks, He's got everything. Listen, I'm telling you, this church can do great and mighty things. I really believe we could do $100,000. But our faith got to increase, though. Because it ain't about the money, it's our hearts. And you say, well, I don't have it. But listen, God can give. If you pray and ask and get a hold of God. I know for a fact, I've seen it. I've seen God do some great miracle things, and I'm telling you, a small church like this, it's not impossible. But people say it's impossible because they don't believe God. It's prove your love to Him. It's a voluntary action. Look what He's done for you. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. What do you receive when you get saved? The power of God. The Spirit of God lives within you. He give you accomplishment. Listen, almost impossible missions to reach the whole world. He said, I got the power. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. He says, I bid you to go and I want you to go. But He says, listen, you got all the power and ability in you. Just trust me. Do it because you love Him. You say eagerness for souls to be saved. Prove your love. You know, it's a commandment to love our enemies, regardless of our emotions, how we feel, isn't it? I mean, we know that He says, bless them that curse you. We know that it says, do good to them that hate you. It says, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Listen, love is an action. But notice that Christ, with the compassion, says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Look at how He proved. He says, you know, He proved His love. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved His love and how He cared for you. It's showing His love toward us. Listen, you have the eagerness and desires for souls to be saved. There's that love. Lord, I want the souls to be saved. Lord, I want churches to be built that people are preaching. Listen, I tell you, when I was over there seas and I was preaching, I preached that the people were so poor that they didn't have but one meal a day, and I still preach missing, and I still preach that need to give, because God said even they can give and they can get involved. Because it proves your love, what He's done for you, you change your life. God, do you want me to go? I'll go. They'll take a bicycle and go across to another village and preach the gospel.
Because they did it because they love God, not to get. Because they want the image. They do it for love of God. Listen, where's your love? You really ponder what He did for you. You ponder the things He did, done, changed your life. And listen, a spiritual benefit of a giver is nullified when he's absent of giving. You start giving and there's no spiritual love or desire. It's just nullified. It's worthless. Why should we give faith missions? Because it's a biblical plan that giving that develops faith. Look at verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3. It says, "For to the power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing themselves." There's three ways that you could give. You can say you can give below your power. It's given where it's when it's convenient, when it's opportunity. You know, it's no big deal. It's offering play. Yeah, I don't mind throwing a little bit of cents in there, a couple of dollars. Or according to your power is the idea for the power by the means they have. They may have to sacrifice. They may not have to drink all the Cokes. And they may have to, can't buy the car this year. They're going to start giving God, burden their heart or whatever it may be. But beyond their power. And that's where the supernatural comes involved. Beyond their power. This is given where it was required to give, well, the source is not available to us. But when it's easy to give when I see the abundance where it's my checkbook. I can just write it, no big deal. But giving when it's not there and sacrificing and saying, "God, provide," and listen and say, "God, you know, this is what you want me to give. You want me to give $100 a week. And listen, I know what you want me to do and this is what you want me to give. But it's short and I'm going to pray because I'm trusting you that you're going to provide that." And then God somehow miraculously works in your life and maybe extend your budget, does whatever He does. But listen, God works beyond their power. Their ability. That's why it's important to pray. It's why it's important to get a hold of God and see what God wants you to give. It's not matter what he, she is giving. It matters what God wants you to give. But you can't find that if you don't spend time in prayer. A time of getting a hold of God and leaning upon Him. After the sacrifice, you still want to give. And they pray that God answers their prayer, but they're able to give beyond their power. It ain't trying to figure it out, trying to reason it out. It's asking it out. It's faithing out. It's trying to get a hold of God. It builds our faith. And I was trying to think of, remember the widow woman in 2 Kings chapter 17 where she's got a couple of sticks and, you know, a handful of meal, and Elijah says, "Why don't you make me first a meal?" And she does it. You notice her barrel never dried. Her oil never went away, but she gave first. And she gave beyond her power, not just to give for him, but for her and herself and to take care of the man of God. God always worked, folks. Listen, God does develop her faith. It's by faith, by one step to another. God works in her life and changes it. We see God working. Listen, you know, that church I'm talking about gave $100,000 did not start at $100,000. It started at $20,000. But it built year by year and year by year because they first gave themselves. And listen, they started being able to give beyond power, and God worked in their lives. What is faith promise given? It's given not just the concept of worldwide missions or prove our sincerity or love. It does develop our faith, but also encourages spiritual growth. Look at chapter 8, verse 7. It says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything." He says, abound in what? Faith. I want you to abound in utterance. I want you to abound in knowledge. I want you to abound in all diligence. And in your love to us, see that you abound in what? This grace also. He's writing to the church of Corinth and saying, look at this church of Macedonia, how God, in their deep poverty and the struggles they went, and how they were able to do it. I want you to abound in those goodness. And he is trying to encourage the spiritual growth. It grows. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." It says, "As it is written, the just shall live by" what? Faith. But it's built from faith to faith. Line upon line, precept upon precept, right?
This is a process of growth and seeing what God has done in my life. I promise you, I can see it with boldness, and I know from the authority of the Word of God, what I'm saying is true, and it can accomplish and change your life when you give your heart to God and see what God did. But what are you doing? You're leaning upon who? The preacher? Nope. The church? Nope. You're leaning upon God. You're spending time on prayer and saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, here am I. Take me as a willing heart and say, now what do you want me to give? I believe in souls need to be saved. I know this is what you want. Now what do you want me to do? Because I want to reach the world. I want souls to be saved. I want us to help support missionaries. More missionaries we can support. But God, help me increase my faith and my giving. What do you want me to do? And Lord, I can only give so much. And the funny thing is, somebody said, well, you're a missionary. You don't have to give more. But you know, I doubled my missions and went to the field. Why? Because my part is still going in that local church, reaching missionaries. I'm still doing my work over here. It's not about, I'm a missionary, I don't need to support missionaries. Our opportunity is to get involved in missions. But it helps build my spiritual growth. That abound in these things. Think about Joshua. Joshua was in Egypt, and he saw what God did with the Pharaoh, and he saw all the plagues, and then he walks across the Red Sea on dry ground. His faith started growing. He saw the rock give water. His faith started growing. Listen, he saw what God did, the miracles, and he saw the birds, and he saw the manna. His faith started growing. And then God calls him and says, look, it will take place of Moses. He's kind of discouraged, and God encourages him in Joshua 1. Be in good courage, be in strong faith. I was with Moses. I will be with you. And listen, his faith started growing and growing, faith by faith. Then he crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. So what's your point, preacher? When they walked around that Jericho city on that seventh day, do you fully believe that he think that wall is going to fall? Do you? He's never seen a wall fall because of they yelled. Nobody's ever seen a wall. Never since then, I think of anybody ever seen a wall fall because they yell. But his faith grew one by one. Listen, this didn't have to generate new faith. You don't have to generate new faith. You take what God has done in your life and where you're at. And everybody's different in spirituality. I don't care if you've been saved for 500 years. Wherever your faith is, you need to grow. Right. And you take it where it is. And you say, well, I'm pretty high. Well, get higher. Yeah. Well, you can walk on water if he bids you to walk. You say, well, preacher, I'm 100 years old and I can't go, Brother Hall. Well, brother, if God calls you, you better go. Yeah. You better go. And even Barry Bendy, carry them crutches, brother. And go. Because he bids you, he'll provide the means. But we're commanded to go. But he's not commanded, but it's an advice to do it. This is why we should give the faith promise missions. It really is a heart to listen to a concept world by missions, but proving our sincerity that we love. And we prove your love. Listen, he said, prove me now with him, the Lord of hosts, if I would open. He says, see what I would do. I command you to do it, then do it. What a God. He said, I'm going to pray. He said, I'm going to fill your wagon full that more than you can handle anyway. It's getting a hold of God, isn't it? It's getting a hold of God. But not just dealing with the faith, but it's also dealing with our selfishness. Look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Listen, he came from glory to save a bunch of knotheads, didn't he? Selfish, self-righteous, full of pride, unwilling to do anything. He died for us. And he says, listen, this deals with our selfish. Look at verse 12. He says, for if there be what? First a willing mind, if it be accepted according to that man hath, and not according to what he hath not. This is, you got to have a willing heart to give. Say, here, Lord, it ain't what I don't have. He ain't expecting to give what you don't got. He's expecting to give who you are. Say, here, I'm willing to give. God, if you want to give me we'll give $100 a week, and I don't got it, but if you want me to give, I'll give it, but you got to provide it. It's a willing mind, it's a willing heart. Then verse 13 says, for I mean not that others man be ease and ye burden. This is not socialism. It's not taking for a brother Biden to give Miss Phoebe. It's not for that. It's basically saying the idea is that you're hurting. This is, he ain't trying to hurt you to help the burden. It's not that purpose perspective. Look at verse 14. By equality, it says, that now at this time your abundance may what? Be a supply to their want. That their abundance also may be a supply to your want. That there may be equality. Remember Acts chapter 11 where they went to Antioch. Listen, the people of Judea was hurting financially, if you please, of money and of finding food and all that. They didn't have that. They had the gospel. They had the abundance of spirituality. They send that to them in Antioch. But listen, they had the abundance of money they could help to take their needs. One abundance helped the others. There's going to be probably a time, folks. People in Philippines may have to be sending missionaries to America. Do you know England was a country that sent missionaries all over the world? They said the sun never set on England. Where's the missionaries now in England? England's cold-hearted. We're sending missionaries to England. The ground is hard. If we stop sending missionaries, we stop getting involved, there we are. Listen, it's important. They may be a bonus thing, but they need the gospel. At one time, they brought the gospel here. And then we need to help send that money. That's called equality. Acts 20, verse 35b, it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's the attitude of the heart, doesn't it? It affects the heart. It should permeate the air. It should be an emotion, excitement. Lord, what do you want me to give? And listen, missions come. It should be a time we get excitement. So, God, what do you want us to do? And listen, we got missionary. We got Brother Streeter. We got Brother Almond. And listen, they think because you love them, because you know, you should be excited because one thing, they're from this church. Think about it. How many churches are sending out missionaries from this church? This church was established on a mission work. It built and it's continued. This is what mission work does. You go in the field, you start a church, and you preach about missions. You preach about giving. You preach about soul winning. You preach about prayer. Listen, you get them and get a hold of God and believe the book. Guess what they do? They send them out. You say, preacher, they got no money. They don't need money. They need God. It encourages spiritual growth. It deals with selfishness. It's not about me and mine. It's about Him. It's about Him. I'm telling you, you see folks that don't have nothing and they pray and they get on the bicycles. Brother Boba, I don't know what it was like in Japan, but I imagine he worked when he's seen guys get excited. They won't go to their family way over there and they're willing to get involved and do something. It encourages your heart and it almost breaks because you won't do more to help them. But listen, they don't need me. They need God. You got to teach them how to pray and get a hold of God. Let me tell you something. Anybody who wants to be surrendered life to ministry, you better learn how to get a hold of God and pray and get answered prayers. That's the most important thing. Because you're going to be alone. Everybody's going to hate the preacher. But you better get a hold of God. When you're on the field, you're going to be alone. We need to pray for our missionaries. We're holding the rope. We should be excited about missions. This is an opportunity. This is a vote that's saying we care about souls or not. This it deals with a selfish heart. It bestows the grace in those churches that grace results in a selfish is abnormal. Listen, they didn't listen. Do you think Church of Macedonia was selfish? You think they were worried about themselves? Where is it at? I probably can't find it now. I want to look for it. But look at verse 4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry. He says, look, Paul said, look, I saw their need in great poverty. He says, no, you need it probably more than they do. He said, no, take it, Paul. We want to give it. Don't stop us from giving. There's excitement. We want to be a blessing. God will take care of us. I mean, it deals with our selfish hearts. We're told that you give to give. Look at chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, what? Ye what? Always having all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. God's going to always supply our needs. Let me say this again, biblical concept, faith promise, biblical concept, worldwide mission. It proves in sincerity our love. We do care about souls. We want souls to be saved. We want to finish the fulfill a great commission. We want to get involved. It develops our faith, faith to faith. It helps it grow and it encourages my spiritual growth. And you know, today my faith is here, but you know, and I see God work and He answers prayers. It increases my faith. And I know God can do it. Next year I'm going to try to increase and maybe I can double it. God, I know you can work in my life, and I'm just one step at a time. But listen, it encourages growth. It deals with my selfishness. It's not about me. It's not about my money. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. If He comes tonight, you're going to worry about the game? You're going to worry about your 401 and IRA? Brother Hall, you can keep my truck. I'm gone. That's right, brother. Because we don't care about those things, do we? It's not about what we want. It's about what He wants. But listen, I focus on Him. Guess what? He'll provide everything I need. He'll take care of my need. It's focusing on Him. But listen, it brings God's blessings on our life. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." We make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He didn't say they took and stole away. This is what He bestowed. He gave them. God, listen, God was pouring out onto an unselfish church. A church that was wanting to give and get involved. You know, Philippians 4:17 says this, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account." You know, when we're giving to missions and we're getting a hold of God and we're saying, "God, what do you just want to do?" We get the blessing. We may help the missionary there, but we're getting the blessings. All the souls we're saving in Ecuador and Brazil and Thailand and Kenya is added to your account. He said, "I don't want the money." You know, missionaries said, "I don't want your money because I need the money. I'm doing it for them." You know, it's hard for a missionary a lot of times to say, you know, asking for money and need. But I didn't have a problem with that because I knew it wasn't for me. It was for the people. I'm speaking for the behalf of those. I said, I need the support, not for me, for them. They're the one needs. I'm the mouthpiece. They don't have a church. They don't have a word of God. They don't have the preacher. They are not saved. The only way we go and preach. And He said, "Now it's up to you. Do you want them saved or not? I'm going. Will you support me get there?" But it adds to your account. Amen. That's what it's about, folks. It's about reaching reward. But it's blessing to our life. Remember the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 13? Where she saw the Elisha coming and she said, "You know what?" Told her husband. And this is a woman. "You know what?" Her husband could probably do nothing. It shows a woman's heart for ministries. She says, "The man of God is coming. We're going to make a place." So she made a room, got him built a room and said, "This is what you're going to do." And he probably said, I better do it because she's going to keep nagging. But she wanted to take care of the man of God. She got a little room built up and she got a bed for him, a little nightstand, a little candlelight. So when he comes, he have a place to stay. Then Elisha was like, "You know what? This woman is being good to me. Go ask her what she needs." And I think he said his servant Gehazi, I think it's pronounced Gehazi, went and found out. And she goes, "I'm just amongst my people. I don't need nothing." And then he says, "Well, you know, she's an older woman. They don't have a child." Listen, she was given not to expect nothing because she gave because she loved God. She wanted to be a blessing to the man of God. And listen, God gave her a child. But it didn't stop there. Her child fell, "My head, my head." So he goes home. Daddy sends the boy home to the mama and she sits in his lap and she's rocking him. She's taking care of him. She's cradling him. I don't know how old the boy was, but she loves her boy. He gets sick and he dies. She goes find the man of God. And God's blessing continues. He takes him. He goes in the house and he lays on top of him, hands upon hands, face to face, eye to eye, his mouth on his mouth. And God brings life to that boy. Listen, you give and God always gives back more than you can handle. He always provides. You can never outgive God. God always takes care of you. But you got to trust God. There's always a blessing. It's blessed more to give. Listen, I desire the fruit that you may to bound to your account. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth in the flesh shall reap of corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting. 2 Corinthians 9:6 tells us, says, this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's up to you what you give. Listen, God said, you sow a little bit, I'll give you a little bit. You sow a lot, I'll give you a lot. This is about souls, guys. It's the most important thing. Not just a blessing, but it provides funds for the world. Look at chapter 8, verse 4. It says, is they praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. A bickering church for this made a commitment and they wasn't going to do it. They didn't see the blessing. They didn't see the blessing, but the church of Macedonia saw the blessing. They begged us to take it. They were in deep poverty, going through great trials, and they begged us to take the money, Paul says. And God provided for them. So what we need to do, I say we need to take our kids and start teaching them about faith promise. And I think we need to start spending time of prayer this week and ahead that, God, what do you have us to give? What do you want me to do, God? Do you want me to go? You're retired. What's stopping you? You're not old. What's stopping you? God's not done with you. God, what do you have me to do? Here am I, Father. If you're not taking me, what do you want me to do to give? But this is getting a hold of God and seeing what God wants us to do. And it's a lifestyle of grace. We need to make a prayer about a one-year commitment, saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? Remember, it's not faith we have to reason it out, is it? It's not faith if we don't act. But if we act, God always reacts. You say, preacher, how can I make it work or how can I do it? Listen, I don't know all the ways God is going to do, but I know I've come up with five ways that He can do. He can increase your income. He can decrease your expenses. He can give you wisdom how to manage your money. And it's amazing to me when I've seen God, I work my books and I'm always trying to be specific. I try to know where all my money is and try to do that. But listen, it doesn't work out right. I give God first, and I'm listening, God, what do you want me to give? But God works it, and He makes it work. He stretches the dollar. He does great, wonderful things. I mean, God's going to do whatever He does in your life, but you get a hold of God what He wants you to do. This is giving grace is maybe you have to sacrifice. I may not have to drink the Pepsis. I may have to give them up and give up the Coke and give up the restaurants for God. What is it better, to eat food and fill your belly or getting souls saved? That you will have to answer before Almighty God, are you not? God, what do you want me to give? This is important. This is what faith promise is about. It's not about our money. It's about giving our hearts to God to souls may be saved. Somebody came to you. Somebody cared about your soul. Let me ask you a question. You live in a country, it's abundance of the gospel everywhere, on TV, books. There's people in this world that doesn't have it that way. There's a saying, I don't know who said it, but it says this, and I'm going to mess it up, but it's not right for someone to hear the gospel more than once while others in the world haven't heard it at all or but one time. We hear the gospel so much. People hear the gospel, we knock on doors, pass out flyers, and they hear the gospel, and there's others out in this world that doesn't hear it. You can't outgive God. So if you can't outgive God, then why don't you give yourself to God? Say, God, here am I. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As they come, I just want you to do this for me. I want you to say, God, I want you to get a hold of my heart. God, I want you to take me. God, my heart may be cold, or God, I've just not seen the importance and it's not moving me. I don't know what it is, but God, take my heart. And I'm saying that not just to you, I'm talking about me, all to us, every one of us collectively. God, take our hearts. God, get a hold of me, God. Break my heart for souls. Why don't you tonight make some prayers and say, God, here am I. God, what do we do? Why don't you, mom's dad, take your kids and say, God, here's your kids. God, here's your wife. God, take them and use them. I'm giving them back to you, Father. It's a time to give ourselves willfully to God and say, here am I, Lord. But it's time for us to get busy, isn't it? Start trusting Almighty God and say, Lord, help us love the things you love as souls. Here am I. As a piano plays, you come.